You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here today. It's a loaded show. We'll have some Tennessee football, some Tennessee basketball talk, a look at the future and the past with Tennessee football today. In the first segment, an update on the NBA Draft Combine with three Tennessee players going through the combine. Two of those guys, Grant Williams and Jordan Bone, have the option of returning to school. I have news on Grant Williams and his upcoming decision. I'll get to that here in segment number one. In segment number two, you will hear from new Tennessee cornerback commit Art Green. He committed to Tennessee on Monday after visiting the Vols this past weekend. In segment number two, he will join the show to talk about his decision to commit to Tennessee and to play for head coach Jeremy Pruitt. And then in the third segment, a look back as a topic that Jay Busby had on Yahoo Sports on Tuesday was the great what-ifs in sports. We talked about that a little bit on Sports 180 on WNML in Knoxville. I thought I'd share you my top five Tennessee what-ifs. It is a long list that we can run through. Five is not nearly enough, but I'll give you five coming up in the third segment of today's show. It's Locked On Vols, your team every day, and it's here on the Apple and Google podcasts, as well as the Himalaya app, Spotify, the third-party apps. Plus, you can tell your smart speaker to play podcast, Locked On VOLS, and it'll fire right up for you. So with Tennessee basketball, it is in a transitioning time with Rick Barnes and his coaching staff trying to figure out exactly what the roster is going to be for this upcoming season. And it's going through the great unknown right now while it waits on Grant Williams' decision and Jordan Bone. Now, Jordan Bone has made it clear his intention is to stay in the draft and explore his professional options. The combine this week is very important for him to showcase what he can do and try to improve his draft stock. Grant Williams is in a more advantageous position as most writers consider him to be a first-round pick. ESPN's latest mock draft that came out a couple of days ago had Grant Williams as the number 23 pick in the NBA draft, going to Utah. ESPN is also featuring Grant Williams in a prospect profile show that it is doing. So Grant Williams is very much on the NBA draft radar, but where is he exactly according to NBA teams? He'll have a better idea of that as this week goes along. And on Tuesday, Grant told Andy Katz and Ali LaForce, while doing an interview with them for NBA TV, that he will make his final decision on Saturday. May 29th is the deadline for players to decide to stay in the draft or not, so he does have a little bit extra time if he wants to take it. But Grant told Ali and Andy that his decision will be made on Saturday after he goes through the combine and has a chance to visit with NBA teams. So by this weekend, Tennessee should know for sure if Grant Williams is going to come back or not. I think over the last few weeks, Tennessee has been out there on the recruiting trail and maybe on the grad transfer market. Really, the transfer market, not just grad transfers. Of course, that would stand out, but the transfer market, I should say, kind of exploring options with the thought in mind that Grant and Jordan will not be back at Tennessee. But Grant is going to make his decision on Saturday, according to Andy Katz and Ali LaForce. Jordan Bone right now is not considered a likely draft pick. He could be taken in the top 60 picks. Remember, it's only two rounds. There are only 60 picks in the draft. And right now, Jordan is considered by most writers to be on the outside looking in. Sam Vecenie, in his most recent big board, had Jordan Bone at number 70. Again, that's his own personal ranking. That's not how NBA teams view him. But Sam has written that he thinks Jordan is a guy that NBA teams like and would have a chance to get into the top 60 for sure. So this week is very important for Jordan Bone to showcase his skills. And he is a guy that could go past the May 29th deadline, go undrafted, and then have the option of returning to Tennessee. If he is selected in the draft, Jordan would not have an opportunity to come back. So Grant Williams right now is considered by just about every writer covering the NBA and NBA draft as a first-round pick. But is he solidified there, and is Grant happy with his positioning? He will have this week to decide that. Jordan Bone looks like he's trying to play his way in to the NBA draft, And then Admiral Schofield, who, of course, is out of eligibility, he is considered to be somewhere in between. Most projections have him as an early second-round pick. Some projections have him in the first round. So Admiral does have a chance to play into the first round, which would give him a guaranteed contract next year. Now, if Admiral's drafted really anywhere, but especially in the top 40 picks, I think he's getting a contract next year in the NBA. He might spend some time in the G League, but I think he would get an NBA contract. So whether he's the 25th pick or the 35th pick, I don't think it would be that big of a deal for Admiral. I think for him it might be more about getting with the right franchise, one that has the right kind of structure in place and good personnel, everything that you look for in a solid franchise. That's the kind of franchise I think Admiral would fit right in with. But I don't think that's a huge concern for him right now. I think right now Admiral is focused on improving his stock and trying to prove his first-round worth. And recently, Admiral did an interview with Stadium. They do live streaming, watch Stadium. And I'll let you hear the question, kind of the setup here for Admiral to make his case to NBA teams. Listen to what Admiral Schofield said recently.
You can look in the camera, you can look at me, pretend there's a GM, scouts in this room, sell Admiral Schofield as to why you should be picked as high as possible in the 2019 NBA draft.
Well, Admiral Schofield is going to come in every day and work hard. He's going to be the first one in the gym, the last one to leave. He's going to be a guy that's not about causing conflict, but bringing more camaraderie within the organization. But also, once he gets on the floor, he's going to go at anybody. You know, anybody you put him on, he's going to try to defend and slow down as best as he can. The league is the league. You know, it's the most talented players in the world. So just to be in the opportunity like that, you know, I'm a player that feels blessed. I don't feel obligated to anything. And, you know, I just need the opportunity. And I feel like my abilities and my character will show for itself, but the opportunity is going to be given by you guys. So if you'll be willing to have me, I'll be willing to work and be willing to win.
Admiral Schofield making his case to NBA teams. I think there will be a number of teams very interested in Admiral. And remember, a number of these teams had a chance to see him in person last year. He did some NBA workouts last year when he went through the process. He obviously returned to Tennessee for his senior year. Teams had a chance to scout him during the season, and now they will see more of him with the work that he's put in to get ready for the NBA draft, which is June 20th. So we have a little more than a month to go before the NBA draft. The Combine is going on this week in Chicago. Grant Williams will make his decision on Saturday, according to Andy Katz and Ali LaForce. Jordan Bone, we'll see what happens there. And obviously, Admiral is gone. It's all about the NBA right now for him. Also with Tennessee, Keon Johnson announced his final three. He will make his decision on August 6th, according to his announcement on social media. The final three for Keon Johnson: Tennessee, Ohio State, and Virginia. That's pretty good company for Tennessee to be in, especially Virginia just won the national championship. Keon is the number one ranked player in the state of Tennessee. He is about a 6'5 combo guard. Tennessee would love to add Keon in the 2020 class. So still a ways to go until his announcement. It'll be August 6th, but the final three for guard Keon Johnson in the 2020 class: Ohio State, Virginia, and Tennessee. Coming up next on Locked On Vols, you will hear from new Tennessee football commit Art Green. He is the seventh member of the 2020 class for Tennessee, one of the highest-rated junior college prospects in the country out of Hutchinson Community College. Art Green joins the show coming up next. Locked On Vols, which is available every day on the new Himalaya app. You can go there and follow Locked On Vols. And with the Himalaya app, they have personally curated playlists. They have new features every day. So go to the App Store and check it out, the Himalaya app, and follow Locked On Vols. Tennessee received a commitment on Monday from Art Green. He is a cornerback from Hutchinson Community College in Kansas. He visited Tennessee this past weekend and then made his announcement on Monday afternoon that he is the newest member of the Vols 2020 class. I want to welcome him to the show now. Art, thanks so much for taking the time to join me here. And the first thing I'll ask is, what led you to make the decision after visiting this past weekend to commit to Tennessee?
It's a couple things. One thing, I'm a big family type of guy. I want to make sure my family's comfortable wherever they're at and wherever I'm at. And that was one thing that happened while we were down there on the visit. And another reason was the coaching staff. I mean, Pruitt, Mainsley, one of the ones I talked to, really, and Coach Ives. And they kind of took my family in with open hands, and I like that too, just how they treated them. And then with their resume of the schools they've been at and all the accolades that they have and what they've won, and I feel like it's a great opportunity to be coached by them, and especially when they're rebuilding, basically. And I feel like Tennessee in a couple of years will be a great place to play football at.
Yeah, the idea of playing for Jeremy Pruitt, who has had a lot of success coaching defensive backs and coaching defense overall, how much was that a factor in your decision to choose Tennessee?
It was a huge one. I mean, as a defensive back, to have a coach specialize in that, I feel like that's very important. And even to make sure that, you know, that we can relate on some type of level. And I feel like that it helps me with more opportunities to get out there on the field, because he kind of runs a defense where he has more than four DBs out there. And it gives me more opportunities to get on the field and play.
Yeah, how much did they talk to you about the opportunity to help immediately? I'm sure that's a goal of yours and a goal of theirs to get you on the field immediately. What was that conversation like and the opportunity you'll have at Tennessee?
Oh, the opportunity. He said I have opportunity. I mean, I come in and compete, you know, as usual, and then just start learning the system, because he wants me to learn outside. He wants me to learn corner first, and then we can start exploring the other defensive positions out there.
Talking to Art Green, Tennessee commitment. Yet, tell me about your game. What do you think would allow you to maybe be able to play different positions, and what are some of your strengths, do you think, playing at corner?
I feel like my strengths come from playing receiver. Throughout high school, I was recruited as a receiver, and my ball skills, that's like my number one thing I have. And also the knowledge of when I'm guarding a receiver, it's kind of like the ball's in there, I just turn into a receiver. I can figure out hints of how a wide receiver lined up. I know what's going on if he lines up wide or if he scoots in more.
Hey, Art, how would you say your time at Hutchinson has helped you develop, both on the field and off the field?
Good, because, I mean, we the way we play defense, we play physical, fast, and we do a lot of man. That's my favorite type of coverage is man, and we do that a lot. And I feel like it helps me a lot of my athletic ability, too. I get to showcase that.
What do you think about the fact that Cordarrelle Patterson, Alvin Kamara, Tennessee's gone to Hutchinson and got, or the junior college ranks, period, and gotten some players to come to Knoxville and have success? Has that been brought up? How much has that been something you thought about?
It was brought up. I wasn't focused on it until somebody said something during the visit, and I was like, oh, yeah, they did come in, and I really like it here, too. And I feel like it was just a coincidence that I like Tennessee.
What is life like at junior college? How much does it maybe cause you or force you to focus on everything you're trying to get done?
Junior college, I mean, it's a grind. It's a daily grind. Everything's a grind. I mean, you might not necessarily like everything that goes on there or the certain situations you're in sometimes, but, I mean, you kind of have to just toughen up and get through it. It taught me a lot. It has affected me in a positive way. I know what to do, and I know right from wrong and a lot of things. JUCO is an experience that I'll never forget.
Yeah, talking to Tennessee commit Art Green. And Art, when you announced your commitment to Tennessee on social media, posting it on Twitter, you mentioned there that before you lost your mother, Loretta, she told you that in God's timing, your dreams would come true, and now it's here. How much have you thought about her the last few days?
I've thought about her a lot, even on my visit. She played basketball growing up, and she really wanted to come play for Pat. Like, she really liked Tennessee, and I was like, I had took a moment and just was looking, and I was like, my mom liked this place too, and it was a coincidence that I like it and she liked it too.
What do you think she would think or say to you knowing that you're now committed to the University of Tennessee?
She would talk about school a lot and just education. She said, I mean, she knows football doesn't last forever, and she would want my education to be more important than anything.
And your family, what's it been like for them? You know, your chance to celebrate with them over the last couple of days since you announced your commitment on Monday.
Oh, it's been fun. My dad's really excited. He got his outfits planned out already, his orange and white outfits planned. My grandma's really excited. Everybody's just really excited and happy. I'm happy that they're behind me and they support me 100%.
Yeah, how important was that to you to have family support or backing? And I'm sure that would happen no matter your decision, but to have them kind of be a part of the process, was that something that was important to you?
Yes, because they've been along for the ride since when I first started, and I wasn't very good at sports. They've been on a long ride of up and downs, and I'm just happy that they're here.
I think I've noticed that there's been a reaction on social media. What have you thought about all the tweets and whatever else you've probably seen, Instagram maybe, all the replies from Tennessee fans over the last couple of days?
Oh, I love it. I got 1,000 followers in one day. I love the fans. I can't wait to hear them all and make it out there and see them all and just enjoy them.
Yeah, what did you think of Neyland Stadium, as big as it is, more than 100,000 seats in there?
Oh, it's huge. I walked in there and I was blown away. Me and my dad loved it, and he just want front row seats so he can scream and yell while getting.
Hey, Art, congratulations on your commitment to Tennessee. Thanks so much for taking some time to talk to me about it, and I look forward to seeing you in Knoxville in the future.
All right, thank you.
That's Tennessee cornerback commit Art Green right here on Locked On Vols. So he is the 7th commit in Tennessee's 2020 class. The Vols currently rate 22nd, according to 247 Sports. Now, with only 7 commits, Tennessee does not have much of a numbers advantage. Tennessee moved up, I think, about 7 or 8 spots from where it was before Green gave his commitment to Tennessee. The top 5 classes in the country right now, Clemson is number 1, LSU is number 2, Alabama is 3rd, Miami is 4th, and Georgia is 5th. Georgia did land offensive lineman Tate Ratledge on Monday, which was not a surprise. I said on Monday's show that that would probably happen, but Tate Ratledge choosing Georgia gave the Bulldogs a boost. They have 9 commitments in the class. All of them are 4- or 5-star prospects. So Georgia's doing well. Bama is doing well, as you would expect. Clemson doing really well. It has the number 1 class in the country. There's plenty of work to be done for Tennessee, but I do know the Vols were happy. They were very happy to take the commitment from Art Green on Monday after he visited this past weekend. Coming up in the final segment of Locked On Vols, I'll offer some what-ifs in Tennessee sports history. It's a list that you can keep going and going and going with. I will narrow it down to 5. That's coming up right here on Locked On Vols, which is available on Apple Podcasts, Google. I mentioned the Himalaya app earlier. If you have time to download, subscribe, as well as rate and review the show, that is a big help to Locked On Vols. I have shortened the schedule for the show a little bit, going 3 or 4 days during the week here during the summer, and we'll get back to 5 days a week as we get closer to football season. Keep spreading the word, though. Tell Tennessee fans about Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Narrowing this down to 5 is almost impossible, but I did it anyway because I wanted to bring up the conversation. We talked about it, as I mentioned, on Sports 180 on Tuesday, as Jay Busby wrote at Yahoo Sports about some of the greatest sports what-ifs. So we brought that up related to Tennessee. Here are 5 sports what-ifs that come to mind for me when you look back at Tennessee's history. Number 1, the 2001 SEC title game. If Tennessee is able to slow down Matt Mock and Dominique Davis and that rushing attack for LSU, I think Tennessee wins the game. There are a number of what-ifs you can play. What if Tennessee takes better care of the football on offense? But with Mock coming in as the backup quarterback and continuing to be able to run at Tennessee's defense and the defense not being able to stop it, Tennessee gave up 31 points in a game the Vols were favored to win. And if you win that game, the reason it becomes a huge what-if is not only do you have a 3rd SEC title in 5 years, you go out to the Rose Bowl to play Miami for the national championship. Miami would have been favored, and Miami very well could have and probably would have won the game. But you've got a shot if you're there. You don't have a shot if you don't go to the game. Tennessee would have had a defensive line out there with Albert Haynesworth, John Henderson, Will Overstreet, playmakers that included Dante Stallworth, Kelly Washington, Jason Witten. Tennessee was no slouch, and I think would have been a better matchup than Nebraska. Again, Miami would have been favored, but at the very least, Tennessee would have had a 3rd SEC championship in 5 years. And think about it, Tennessee has not won an SEC championship since then. So that's number 1 for me. Number 2, another SEC title game in the 2000s against LSU. You go back to the 2007 game. That's one where Tennessee had the lead in the fourth quarter. A couple of interceptions were costly. Tennessee should not hang its head because it lost that game, because it did a really good job to be in a position to upset LSU, which went on to win the national championship. But Tennessee did have a fourth quarter lead in that game, and LSU's offense did not score again. So I think that 07 SEC title game is a big what-if, because if you win that one, again, you've got another SEC championship, first time in 9 years, and that drought is not nearly as long, and Philip Fulmer's not being fired the following year. There's no way Tennessee fires him in 2008 if he just won the SEC championship in 2007, so you don't have everything that has followed since then, Lane Kiffin, Derek Dooley for starters, to then occur. So I think the 07 SEC title game is a big what-if as well. Now I'm going to shift to basketball. There are two games in the last decade where you can play the what-if game. In 2010, what if Scottie Hobson makes a free throw to go up against Michigan State? Michigan State might have come back down the floor and scored and won the game in regulation, or maybe go to the free throw line and hit a free throw to tie it, but we'll never know. Scottie missed that free throw. If he hits it, maybe Tennessee goes to its first ever Final Four. And if Tennessee's in the Final Four, who knows what might have happened from there. And then fast forward 4 years, Tennessee is back in the Sweet 16. They're playing Michigan this time, and with about 6 or 7 seconds to go, Jarnell Stokes is called on a charge. What if that call goes the other way? A blocking foul on Michigan could have given Tennessee a chance to win the game at the end and go back to the Elite Eight for only the second time in school history, and who knows what happens from there. I also had Tennessee fans bring up, what if Lamonte Turner is not called for that foul against Carson Edwards in the Purdue game? That would have gotten Tennessee back to the Elite Eight. So you can play that what-if game with several tournament games for Tennessee here in the last decade. And then one more. This was sent to us by a few different people on Tuesday on Sports 180. What if Steve Spurrier goes to Tennessee? What if Tennessee says to Steve Spurrier, a very talented quarterback from Science Hill, hey, we want you to stay in state. Come play for the Vols. If Tennessee changes its offense, Spurrier's at quarterback, he has success. Maybe Tennessee has a Heisman Trophy winner. Maybe Spurrier's the coach a few decades later. If you want to talk about changing history at Tennessee, have Steve Spurrier go play football at Tennessee. Instead, he goes to Florida. You probably know about his coaching career there as well. That had quite an impact on the college football world. What are some Tennessee what-ifs that come to mind for you? You can tweet them to me, @Josh_Ward on Twitter. I'm on Facebook as well, facebook.com/Josh Ward. I want to thank you for hanging out here today. Sorry about the voice. It's been struggling a little bit the last couple of days, which is great when you're hosting a radio show and podcast every day. But I really appreciate you being here. Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I will be back tomorrow. I'll have a little bit more for you on Tennessee football recruiting. How important is recruiting inside the state of Tennessee? I'll get to that and talk about Tennessee's offensive line position as I continue the post-spring positional breakdowns. All of that right here on Locked On Vols. Don't forget to download, subscribe, rate, and review. And most importantly, spread the word. Tell Tennessee fans you know about Locked On Vols. My name's Josh Ward. Thanks again. I'll see you here tomorrow.